Book of 3 John. Book of 3 John. 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Third to last book of the Bible, I guess, is what you would call that. You got it. Ooh, look at that. So, little fun fact. In the original language, this is the shortest book of the Bible. In the English language, 2 John is the shortest book of the Bible. Mind blown. Okay, let's all stand. We're going to start at verse 9. Oh, I know. It's going to be quick. We're just... Standing makes me feel tall. Just to rub it in. So starting in verse 9. Let's all stand on our feet. I write to the church, but Diotrephes, he's a tricky name, sorry, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd give us a supernatural focus on your word right now. Let us just receive exactly what you have for us. Fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and I pray that each and every one of us, including myself, would grow deeper in you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Have a seat, everybody. So, we've talked about 3 John. It's like flipping through a photo album. You know, you get to see like your great-great-aunt who's like really cool, and maybe she like flew planes or something, and you're like, I want to be like her one day. But then there's also that like crazy uncle who wears like disco pants, and like every time you see him in the photo album, he's like not wearing a shirt, and you're like, was that even allowed at that time? What are you doing? And so it's like that crazy uncle, you know? Everybody has some...
I'm gonna be that crazy uncle.
You're gonna be that crazy uncle? I think I'm the chill uncle. I'm a pretty chill uncle. But everybody has like a crazy aunt or uncle, right? Or like a crazy first cousin twice removed on your mother's side, something like that.
Twice removed.
I think it's through marriage they call it being removed. So if you're a first cousin through marriage or once removed, something like that. Yeah. You know them? Doesn't most people know their fourth cousins?
I don't know either.
Okay, we're moving on. We're moving on because today we're looking at the crazy uncle of 3 John. Yes. So we've looked at Gaius, how he was a life transformed by the truth, and he supported and sent missionaries and preachers. He opened his home to them, supported them financially, and now we're at that crazy uncle, and his name is Diotrephes. I thought of like calling him Dino for short, but I actually have an Uncle Dino, so it'd just be weird. It'd be weird in my mind, so I can't do it. Dino? Yeah, I have an Uncle Dino and an Aunt Wendy. Aunt Wendy is the insane one. She's crazy. That's pretty cool. So, Diotrephes, or Dino, he is the person that we don't want to be like. So we're looking at three people in the book of 3 John, and Gaius we want to be like. Diotrephes we do not want to be like. He is all bad. Here's what we know about him. He's a Christian. He's super involved at his local church, and he is even a leader in that church. So like we have church leaders, people who are head over ministries. So I'm a church leader. Adam Picker, He was your Team 56 leader. He's a church leader. People with home fellowships that lead a home fellowship, they are church leaders. And we just are part of the leadership of the church. So they just, it's that kind of thing. Like, we get here a little earlier and stay a little late. That's really what it means. So the bad thing about Diotrephes is his pride. This guy is like eaten alive by the pride in his life. And we haven't really talked about pride yet as a group. We haven't really gone into it in depth. So we're going to take a little glimpse at pride. I'm going to briefly explain it. So pride is a feeling that you, basically a feeling that you are more important or better than other people. So pride is like you look down on others and you, like, you don't look up to yourself, but you view yourself as better than others. And it's so common. It's so easy to get caught up in pride because we love ourselves. Can I get an amen? I mean, that's just the way, that's the way that mankind is. We love ourselves and we are always looking out for number one, us. And sometimes we get so caught up in that, that we start to think that we're better than we really are. And yeah, that's just how humanity is. That's the way it is. And we see all throughout Scripture that pride, it's not only bad, but it is a sin. Proverbs 16 verse 5 says, "The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished." So people who are proud, just as anybody else who falls into a sin, gives into a sin, they will be punished. So we see that pride is a very serious thing. God takes it seriously, and we as Christians should also take it seriously. Not only that, but pride is kind of like a disease. And that if you let it get a little part of your life and then just let it stay there, it'll kind of grow and take over other parts of your life until it's a really big thing. Yeah, weeds are like the disease of the garden. So if you were a garden, pride would be the weeds and it would take over and you could not get it out with any, what do they call that, Roundup that gets the weeds? You could not get it with any of that Roundup because it's strong stuff. So tonight we're going to see how pride takes over Diotrephes and his role in the church. It devours who he is as a person. Then we're going to look at some application for ourselves so that we can kind of learn and apply from Diotrephes. So first, we're going to see how Diotrephes wants control. Second, how he runs from good people. Third, how he makes up rumors. And then four, how he dislikes those who don't agree. So he wants control, runs from good people, makes up rumors, and dislikes those who don't agree. And what we're going to see is that these are really symptoms of pride that you'll start to display in your life if pride gets a foothold and starts to grow. So first, wants control. Verse 9 of our passage says, "Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them." What this means is that he wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be the head honcho. He wanted people to look up to him. And he most likely probably looked down on everyone else. He probably viewed what he was doing as a blessing to the church because he viewed everyone else as a little bit worse or like in a worse place than he is. So he was like, "I'm going to bless you by making myself in charge of everything because you're all terrible people and I'm incredible." Probably not that extreme, but pretty much that is the way he would have been. Second, we see that he runs from good people. Verse 9 says, "He does not receive us." Verse 10 says, "He himself does not receive the brethren." So here John writes to the church, and Diotrephes gets the letter, and he's like, "I ain't gonna let you come to my church, John." And John's like, "Whoa, really? This is like a text conversation." Obviously, it didn't happen like this because it was letters. But Diotrephes gets the letter, and he's like, "I am not gonna let John come to this church." Now, you have to realize, John was the oldest living apostle in the world. He was the last person to physically see Jesus with his own eyes, and he was the only one walking on the earth. So John's old. John's a legend. I feel like you'd walk by this guy and you'd be like, "Oh my goodness, was that John? Wow, he's a legend." That's what you'd do. This is like, Spending one-on-one time with John would be like having Yoda come to your backyard and just spending time with him as he trains you in the Force. Do you know what I'm talking about? But just like...
Thanks, guys. Okay.
But Deotrophus, even though he is... Yeah, okay, yes, Chris.
I saw
Yoda? No. Saw Jesus?
No,
you didn't.
He's such a cute
Grace. Making up stories again. Oh my goodness. But Deotrophus, even though it would be like spending one-on-one time with a legend, he does not want him to come. And it's probably because he viewed John as a Christian who's more mature than him, and he viewed that as a threat. He didn't want that threat to come near him because maybe John would challenge him. Maybe John would point out his pride and say, hey, you shouldn't be acting like this. You shouldn't be power hungry in the church of God. Instead of learning from them, his pride causes Deotrophus to run from those that he should be learning from. So we see, he wants control. He's power hungry. He runs from people, so he fears those who have authority. And then he makes up rumors. This is very interesting, and this is kind of something that flows out of pride very, very naturally. Verse 10 says, prating against us with malicious words. That is so confusing, and it's really just a fancy way of saying that he's making up bad stories about John and other traveling Christians in the world, and he's spreading them around like rumors. So, this guy is so caught up in his pride, and so against those that could be a threat to his position in the church, that he's making up fake stories that make the Apostle John and other truth-preaching teachers that are traveling around the world, that's making them look like bad people. And then he's spreading them like rumors around the church. And we've all had that like outlandish story that we hear from like our neighbor about our church, and we're like, how did you even hear about that? That's not true. It's not real. And it's just made up rumors that people spread. We've all, like, maybe you've had that happen at school with a friend or like with a parent or whatever it may be, where that fake story just like spreads around. And you're like, how did you even hear about that? No, I do not have aliens living in my attic. Who told you that? You know what I mean? Like, people make up... Is that really a movie? I've never heard of that.
That movie's hilarious.
And it shows us that pride wants us to make good people look bad. Pride wants us to look the best to everyone. So desperately that we will make anybody look bad. So not only do we want control when we have pride, but we run from good people that could snap us out of our pride, and then we start to make up rumors. And then finally, you dislike those who don't agree. So Deotrophus, he dislikes those who don't agree. Verse 10 says, he forbids those who wish to receive the brethren, putting them out of the church. When he found people that wanted to support John and wanted to support other traveling preachers, do you know what he would do? He would point them out and what they're doing as wrong, and then he would go a step further to kick them out of the church. So this guy had... Jared, stop stomping your feet. This guy had so much power.
You thought you were sneaky, didn't you? What in the world?
She was doing it first!
Okay, well, stop stomping your feet. You guys aren't elephants. Stampede up in here.
But when he found people that wanted to support what John and other preachers of the truth were doing, he'd point what they're doing as wrong, and then he would kick them out of the church. And a symptom of pride is that you can stop caring for others, and then you can go a step further and become really rude. You can become mean and hurtful. And we don't normally see, like, in the church, we don't see people kicking people out because they, like, stepped on their toes or something. But what we do commonly see is when someone's caught up in their pride, we see them start to treat other people kind of like they're dirt. You know, like, if you're not going to act the way I act, if you're not going to like what I like, if you're not going to do what's cool, if you're going to be lame, or if you're going to threaten my coolness, I'm going to show you the cold shoulder. I'm going to stop talking to you.
I'm threatening your coolness. Better watch out.
What we see is you can stop caring about what people feel. You can stop caring about loving them and caring for them. And you treat them as almost like pawns in a chess game, trying to further your pride in this world. And it's really a horrible thing. And something that we as Christians and anybody else in the world are susceptible to falling into. And so, as we come to a close, I want to look at some important application. Because though you may not deal with pride in the exact same way that Diotrephes is, because like we're not all like the highest leader of the church and like power thirsty for it and kicking people out of the church when they don't respect the Apostle John. I'm going to assume that applies to absolutely none of us. The way it can apply to us is a pride that is really, really normal in the church. Common when people grow up in the church. And they grow up in the church, maybe they don't struggle with a lot of sins. Like, you don't struggle with drugs, you don't struggle with sex, you don't even like listening to rock and roll. So, but you grow up, and then you start to feel this pride because you look to others in the world. You look to others even in the church, and you say, I'm way better than them because I don't struggle with that. I'm way better than them because I don't have an issue with saying that word. I'm way better than them because I don't even eat that food. I don't eat that much sweet. I'm gluten-free and sugar intolerant or whatever. And you know, it grows really slowly. And hear me out, guys. Stop laughing because stop laughing. Just stop.
I can't hold it.
Yeah, well, you will be able to soon. But
when you grow up in the church, you can start to have a sense of pride that people should look up to you because you've been here for years. You even know how to lock the doors. You know how to turn off the lights. People ask you to hand out the offering and to do the slides. And you know how to take care of the flowers, and you've been doing children's ministry for like 3 years and nobody knows because you do it first service. And you even look down on people for that because you're like, I'm not showing my right hand what my left hand is doing. No! And it can sneak up on us, and then soon we're walking into the junior high and expecting all these people to look up to us. We're walking downstairs and wondering why people aren't holding the bathroom door open for us. And it snuck up on you so quick, but all of a sudden you think people need to look up to you because you've gotten this pride, or you've gotten some sort of inheritance in the church. And we, especially you guys as young Christians, and myself as a young Christian growing up as well, we need to watch out for this pride. Because just like for Diotrephes, how it can be a disease, that if we give it a little corner of our life, like, yeah, maybe we have pride in the service that we do, serving with kids, or serving in the media, doing the screens, and or maybe it's even cleaning the bathrooms. You have pride in doing that, which, I mean, that's incredible. If you have pride in cleaning toilets, talk to me about that because I want to get to know you more. We need to be careful of that pride. And the way to do it is to really seek after the heart of Jesus. Realize the sacrifice that Jesus gave us covered everybody's sin. And we were just as guilty of death, just as guilty of hell. But by Jesus' sacrifice, we were able to humbly receive redemption from our sins and from the consequence of our sins. And so realize that Jesus is the one who should be proud. We should, when we boast, the only person we should boast about is Jesus. Because he is incredible. He is strong. He's the one that everybody should be looking up to. And so, when you start to feel that sense of pride, look to Jesus. Look to the sacrifice that he gave for us. And then seek to be humble. You know, seek to... I've heard it said, and I think it's the best, that humility, oh, that's so weird. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. So it's not that you think you're worse. It's not that you think you're like a horrible person. But it's thinking of yourself less. Putting Jesus first. Putting others before yourself. And then thinking about yourself when you come along to that. But first, we need to have the focus on Jesus. For He is our redemption. He is our Savior. It is only by Him that we are able to serve at church. That we are able to clean bathrooms and have joy in that. It's only by Him that we were redeemed from the dark things of this world. And so, when we boast, don't boast on yourself. Because, I mean, we're lame. I mean, this is junior high. You guys have voice cracks all the time. That's just the truth. I remember when I was in... I still get voice cracks. I mean, and I am old and have a big old beard. And my voice still cracks sometimes. I'm like, or I think I still have a high voice sometimes, and I go, and then I realize I don't have it anymore. And so, I mean, we've got nothing to brag about. We've got nothing to boast on except Jesus. And so boast in Jesus, because He is incredible. He is our Savior, and it is by Him that we have been given such opportunity and such privilege in this world. You guys are so giggly tonight. It's cracking me up. Okay, let me pray for us, and then we're actually going to play a pretty funny game, so I think you guys will dig it. Dear Lord, we thank You that it is Your desire for us to be humble, Lord. We thank You for the heart that You have toward pride, and we pray that we would have that same heart, Lord, that we would realize pride to be a very serious thing, and that... that as it tries to creep up in our lives, as it always will do, Lord, that we would be quick to point it out as what it is, to point it out as pride, and to realize that You are the power, Lord, that You are our authority, and that You are our strength. So we pray that You would give us humble hearts that are always willing to listen to You, always willing to listen to others, and always having ourselves on our mind the last, Lord. Give us humble hearts, we pray. And we pray all of this in Your name. All of God's people said, Amen. Amen.